Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Please be seated. I just want to welcome everyone to today's Board of Public Works meeting. This morning, as you can see, the governor, the comptroller, and the treasurer are all not here because they're attending a funeral of 18-year-old Darren Boxwell. Darren graduated from Easton High School in May and planned to attend Bethany College in West Virginia this fall. He was a member of Easton High School's wrestling and lacrosse teams and was well known throughout his community as a kind soul with carefree spirit and brilliant young mind. Our hearts are with the Boxwell family, the Easton community, and all those who are fortunate enough to know Darren. Even in moments of sorrow, the work of the people must continue. So with that, let's begin the business of the day. Good morning, Secretary Gontram.
Good morning, Governor, and good morning to you, Mr. Chief Deputy Comptroller and Mr. Chief Deputy Treasurer. There are 39 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning, and I'm happy to assist with answering any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I'd like to first call up item number 4, which provides compensation through the Walter Lomax Act to Mr. James Longhorn for being wrongfully convicted and incarcerated for 27 years for a crime he didn't commit. In 1998, Mr. Longhorn was charged and convicted of murder related to a 1993 fatal shooting in Baltimore City. At the age of just 23, he was sentenced to life in prison. Mr. Longhorn maintained his innocence, and in 2019, he requested a review of his case through the state's attorney's conviction integrity program. The state's investigation revealed new evidence to support his innocence, including the discovery of false witness testimony used to support Mr. Longhorn's conviction. Mr. Longhorn was finally released on February 10, 2025, after 9,870 days behind bars. Nearly 3 decades were stolen from Mr. Longhorn, depriving him of the opportunity to pursue a career, to build a family, to contribute to our state. Mr. Longhorn is here with us today. He's joined by his attorney, Kobe Flowers. I want to welcome Mr. Longhorn to the podium to share a few words regarding his journey. Mr. Longhorn, thank you for joining us this morning. Please proceed.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I first like to thank everybody for this opportunity to speak and say what's on my mind. To be brief, I just want everybody to understand that the difficulties that I, myself, and other exonerees face, you know, when we're exonerated after suffering decades in prison, crimes we didn't clearly commit. You know, I've owned 6 months, and in that time, you know, I've suffered greatly. There's not a lot of resources for people in my situation. We come home different from people who are generally released. We're just let out. There's no preparation. You know, you didn't really know that you're going to get released. The moment comes up, you realize that you didn't commit the crime. They file something, you go to court, and you just come home. You make $22 a month. There's no savings. You know, there's no preparation. Of course, you want to go home. You know, you don't want to stay in just because you don't have resources. You'll figure it out. But that's something that I hope, as I spoke to Lieutenant Governor, that she's going to say with Westmore that, you know, we can use something about, because you come out exonerated, but you're faced with so many difficulties that I've known of people who were exonerated, who couldn't maintain, and now they're back in prison for crimes that they did commit. So that in itself is a travesty.
Yeah.
So I just want to make people aware of that, along with the fact that after being in prison for decades, you come home and there's no credit. I wasn't even acknowledged. I went through every resource that I could think of just to get medical insurance. I'm a diabetic. And had I not had a friend in that field, I probably still wouldn't have medical insurance. That's something that I brought up to the lieutenant governor. I don't want to take a lot of time in speaking, but I'm just saying that I want people to be aware, you know, of these things that people in my situation go through. You know, it's wonderful to hear people say, you know, how sorry they are for what we went through. You know, I myself, you know, I don't hold people at fault. You know, I understand that things go wrong. I guess I am angry at those who, you know, violated their trust as public servants, you know, to go above and beyond to ruin a man's life, a father's life, to obtain a conviction. So that is what I'm angry at. But to be angry overall serves no purpose. That's something you just have to let go. But I speak for those who have been in my situation, those who will be in my situation one day, that, you know, I need the public to be aware that, you know, it's not just about being released. And it's a wonderful thing that people are providing some financial gain. But, you know, it would mean nothing if you come home and you find yourself in such a dire situation that you feel the need to just do something to make it. You know, so then there's a double loss. And that's really just what I wanted to speak on today. Thank you, guys. And have a great day.
Mr. Langhorne, on behalf of Governor Moore, myself, this board, and the people of Maryland, there are no words to express how deeply sorry we are for what was taken from you and for the failure of our justice system. I know a few minutes ago you came into my office and we spoke, and Mr. Langhorne described his experience of being in prison for a crime he didn't commit as a trauma. And then being released and coming into a new trauma. And these are the things that we need to understand, the challenges that individuals face. And our job as public servants is to remove those obstacles, to make sure that when you come back, that you have the services that you need. And I'm really, really sorry to hear that you are faced in a situation that wasn't there waiting for you, as we should have been. So your comments that you shared with me are noted, and I assure you that we will follow up on this on behalf of the state. Thank you. Thank you for sharing your thoughts with us. And again, while no amount of money can erase the injustice you faced or the time that was stolen from you, I hope today's action by this board provides meaningful support, healing, and comfort as you step into the next chapter of your life. May peace be with you, Mr. Langhorne. Is there any other discussion on this item? Next, I'd like to highlight item number 11, which is requested to award $5.6 million annual grant to the Maryland Zoo in Baltimore. Leased to the state by Baltimore City, and managed by the amazing team at Maryland Zoological Society, the Maryland Zoo houses over 1,500 animals representing over 200 individual species. The zoo is not just a leading tourist attraction, but a vital piece of our state's wildlife conservation efforts. That's why we're proud to have supported the zoo with nearly $16 million in capital grants from the state since our administration took office. Now, I recently joined the comptroller at the Maryland Zoo to break ground for the new red panda habitat. Red pandas are endangered species with fewer than 10,000 left in the wild. And the Maryland Zoo is stepping up to protect our furry friends. The red panda habitat will become the first new animal exhibit in the zoo's Main Valley area since 2009. The habitat is expected to open next year, just in time to celebrate the zoo's 150th anniversary. The red panda habitat also marks the start of a major transformation at the Maryland Zoo. Guided by its 2022 master plan, the zoo will launch several projects over the next decade to further immerse people in the wonders of our animal kingdom. Today, we're pleased to be joined by Kirby Fowler, President and CEO of Maryland Zoo. Kirby, on behalf of the state, we are so grateful for your innovative leadership. The Maryland Zoo may be the third oldest zoo in the country, but you continue to breathe new life into the park for all its visitors. If you haven't recently, I hope all of you will plan a trip to see our furry friends this summer. With that, I understand we have a number of speakers who requested to be here for several items on the Secretary's agenda. In the interest of time, we'd ask that the speakers limit their comments to no more than 3 minutes, and I'd like Secretary Gondron to have the difficult task of making sure everybody stays within this time frame. First, we have a speaker request for item number 5, which is a request to award $250,000 grant to the Beloved Community Services Corporation to provide operating funds for the Justice Thurgood Marshall Center in Baltimore for fiscal year 2026. I'd like to recognize Dr. Alvin Hathaway, Senior, representing Beloved Community Services, who has joined us to speak in person in support of this item. Dr. Hathaway, good morning.
Thank you. I want to thank the board. I want to thank the state for their support for this coming year. Today is July the 2nd. It's the 117th birthday of Justice Thurgood Marshall. We align with Downtown Partnership to place on their downtown video boards, happy birthday, Thurgood Marshall. So all throughout downtown Baltimore, if you go there today, you will see that graphic. But also July the 2nd is the 61st anniversary of the signing of the 1964 Civil Rights Act. That was championed by Clarence Mitchell Jr., an alumnus of PS 103, which is now known as the Justice Thurgood Marshall Amenity Center. We partnered with Visit Baltimore to produce a short documentary telling the story of Baltimore's civil rights. That documentary was an Emmy Award winner at the 67th Regional Emmy Awards celebration on June the 21st. Our vision is coming to fruition. Justice Thurgood Marshall is to Baltimore as the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King is to Atlanta. We believe the state's investment in Beloved has been catalytic in terms of sparking the needed transformation for the largest African-American historic district in America, the Upton community in West Baltimore. As a result, we own an array of real estate assets in need of redevelopment, and with state support, will be redeveloped within the next 3 years. The Chernock Storage Facility in the 1400 block of Division Street, one block away from the Thurgood Marshall Center, was a recipient of state historic tax credit awards, and we are in the final stages of securing bank financing that will renovate the oldest continuous operating self-storage facility in America. 1324 Drehill Avenue, the former home of Clarence and Juanita Jackson Mitchell, we are 50% complete in its renovation. 1320 Drehill Avenue, the former home of John Murphy and Carl Murphy Jr., the owners and founders of the African-American newspaper, is awaiting funding for its renovation. 1239 Drehill Avenue, the former law office of Juanita Jackson Mitchell, has its funding in place to become the home of ROAR, a legal clinic of the University of Maryland Cary Law School, where she was the first African-American female to graduate. We control 47 affordable apartments within the 1300 block of Madison Avenue that has received a $1 million grant from Baltimore City's Affordable Housing Trust Fund. And we are positioning for a 4% low-income housing tax credit and state bond funding. That the funding you have provided to us will leverage more than $40 million of investment within a 6 square block area in West Baltimore. a just community. Beloved Community Services' mantra is culturally sensitive, culturally relevant, historically accurate community economic development. We believe not only in physical development, but also human development. Recently, a tragic police-related shooting in our community of a widely known Arab, or BJ, who has suffered a mental health crisis. We obtained the approval of Netflix to show the Tyler Perry movie Straw. The movie depicts the mental health struggles of a single mother who was overcome by hardships. Later this month, we will show that film to members of the community with mental health professionals, police representatives, and other stakeholders present to allow those persons that view that film to have the support they need by the stakeholders there. We anticipate having over 300 members of this impacted community participate. 63% of the children within Upton live below the poverty line. 36% of the families also live below the poverty line. The median family income is less than $30,000 a year. Last Saturday, we held our second annual Rock the Block community engagement, and we were able to feed over 800 family food baskets thanks to the generosity of Whole Foods and Amazon.
Thank you so much, Dr. Harper.
Thank you, Nick. 3 minutes was quick. I appreciate it.
Dr. Hathaway, thank you so much. And a happy birthday to Thurgood Marshall. Next, we have a speaker request for item number 6, which is a request to award $11.5 million grant to the Chesapeake Bay Trust to provide operating funds for fiscal year 2026. And I see that Casey Wetzel is representing the Chesapeake Bay Trust, has signed up to speak and is here in support in person. And so good morning, Ms. Wetzel. Good
morning. Thank you, Governor and Chief Deputy Comptroller, Chief Deputy Treasurer, for the opportunity to address the Board of Public Works. The Chesapeake Bay Trust is a 501c3 created by Maryland General Assembly in 1985. And we are honored to be tapped to fulfill our mission to deliver resources to community-based organizations to increase stewardship of our natural resources. We're deeply appreciative of BPW's ongoing support and wanted to quickly share a bit of information about the incredible programs that this funding supports. Chesapeake Conservation and Climate Corps, which is entering its 16th year, was recently expanded with additional funding coming through BPW to focus more on climate, as called for in the Climate Solutions Now Act of 2022. The program, now the climate wing of the service year for DSCI, increases access to green careers by placing young adults 18 to 25 with a nonprofit or government agency for a year of service in the natural resources sector. The second program is the Urban Trees Program, entering its 4th year. As called for in the 2021 Tree Solutions Now Act, as a component of the state 5 million tree goal by 2031. This program focuses on greening communities, improving human health and community livability by mitigating effects of climate change. We understand what a challenging year it was budget-wise and simply wanted to come before the board today to express our deep appreciation for the resources budgeted to support these incredibly important programs. Funding for urban trees isn't just environmental. It's a public health strategy. On hot days, shaded areas can be up to 20 degrees cooler than unshaded ones, reducing heat-related illnesses and saving lives. The Trust previously sent a list to BPW of the 26 new projects in disadvantaged communities that are ready to activate their communities and move forward in planting trees upon receipt of funding. Additionally, now more than ever, young adults need stable pathways into the workforce. As job opportunities shrink in the federal government sector, green career service programs provide paid hands-on experience and a critical launch pad into employment. The Trust is excited to pass through the funding budgeted to support disadvantaged communities and increasing urban tree canopy and to accelerate career opportunities for young adults in Maryland. We deeply appreciate the incredibly hard work of this board, and we thank you for your support.
Thank you so much, Ms. Wetzel. Next, we have a speaker request for item number 15, which is a request to award $250,000 grant to Western Maryland Scenic Railroad to provide operating funds for fiscal year 2026. I'd like to recognize Nikki Shields. Hi, Nikki. Representing Western Maryland Scenic Railroad, who has signed up to speak in person in support of this item. So good morning.
Good morning. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor and your administration for allowing the amendment to speak. I'm Nikki Shields, Business Director of the Western Maryland Scenic Railroad. Thank you for your continued support. As a nonprofit heritage railroad, we're proud to preserve our region's railroading history while fueling tourism, education, and economic growth in Allegheny County. We're more than trains, we're experiences. From our beloved Polar Express to our low-cost ice cream trains and pumpkin trains, we create lasting memories for families of all backgrounds. I'll never forget a little boy shouting to me, "I'm riding the choo-choo," a moment made possible by accessible programming. We partner with local businesses, welcome visitors from across the country, and offer tickets for community raffles and events. We also host school field trips and scout groups using railroads to teach history, teamwork, and engineering. Operating and maintaining vintage trains isn't easy or cheap. Your support helps us preserve these historic assets, expand educational programming, and continue creating joyful, meaningful experiences. Thank you for believing in the power of rail to connect past, present, and future.
Thank you so much, Ms. Fields. Now, I understand we have another supporter of this item, and that is my good friend from Mountain, Maryland, Senator Mike McKay. Please come on out.
Thank you, Governor. Thank you to the two deputy chiefs. I just want to say, I know a guy, his name is Santa Claus. He sounds a little bit like one of the senators in the Maryland General Assembly. And so on behalf of him, we appreciate everything that you have done, the state has done for the Scenic Railroad, but more especially District 1. There's a lot of things that are going to happen today. And we thank you very much. Thank you for each and every one of your all's friendship. And I'll just leave it as a big thank you. And Nikki did a great job. I'm just the eye candy of the organization. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Lastly, we have several speaker requests for item number 17, which is a request to grant wetland licenses to the Pines Community Improvement Association for a project to construct a floating pier system and improve navigation in Anne Arundel County's Chase Creek. I'd like to first recognize David Forbes, representing the Pines on the Severn Improvement Association, who has signed up to speak in support of this item. Mr. Forbes? Good morning.
I want to thank the board for giving me this chance to speak. You may have been, you are going to be passed out. Basically what that is we've been trying to work with surrounding communities on the creek, and they gave us their concerns, and on those concerns, I actually added our responses. I just should introduce myself. I am the co-chairman of the Beach and Boating Committee for Pines on the Severn. We're a volunteer organization, so we don't have somebody that is tasked, paid to do this. So this is what we're trying to do in terms of helping our community be a little bit better in terms of having the facilities that we need. What you're going to probably find is that most of the problem is not the fact that the people are against the floating piers. It's that when the package went out to the surrounding communities, they didn't understand that for 20 some years, we've been responsible for maintaining the creek, the North Creek, the mooring field. And they thought that when they saw a picture of all the moorings available, they thought we were going to populate the creek with 47 moorings. In the 20-some years that we've actually been really in process of managing that field, we've had no more than 21 moorings in there. So what I'd like to say is that we've never had any issues in terms of navigation. We've never had any issues with having somebody from other communities not being able to use moorings in that area. So we feel like that we're here to say that we're willing to work with the surrounding community to make sure that we are all available to basically have our community work with others in terms of managing that field. that's all I have. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Forbes, and thank you for the handout. Next, I'd like to recognize Carol Denny from the Briarcliff community, who has signed up to speak in opposition of this item. Good morning, Ms. Denny.
Good morning, and thank you, everyone, for letting me make these remarks. I am a member of the Pines on the Severn community, not Briarcliff.
Oh, okay.
But I'm here today to ask the board to disapprove granting a license for this project of floating piers. First of all, as an environmental writer and an activist, I wish to respond to the wetland administrator's assertion that the disturbance to the creek's aesthetics by the project is open to interpretation and not easily defined. The physical and aesthetic disturbance that would be caused by the destruction of a 220-foot-long pier system in a previously untouched section of Chase Creek is not really open to interpretation. It's undeniable. Installing 19 docks and drilling 12 pilings will change the natural state of this waterway significantly and permanently. However, one wishes to interpret aesthetic value, a built environment that consists primarily of floating chunks of plastic cannot be compared to the rare natural sanctuary that currently exists in this place. Secondly, the wetlands administrator states that this proposal does not differ from other dock and pier proposals that the state commonly authorizes. Indeed, the state does commonly authorize these proposals, but that is the point that I wish you to consider carefully at this moment. Exceptions to the regulations are granted continually, and every year many projects that disturb wetlands are approved. In direct contradiction to the stated goals of the State of Maryland and the Board of Public Works. These goals were supposed to ensure the protection and conservation of our waterways and wetlands, and yet we lose more every year. Wild and sensitive habitat is being erased. Thirdly, this project directly negates the state's previous investment in the protection of wetlands. In 2015, a community improvement project in our neighborhood, Pines on the Severn, was funded by a grant from Maryland Department of Natural Resources to create a 450-foot living shoreline. This shoreline has been a tremendous success. It has fully achieved the state's goals for conservation of tidal wetlands, added a well-used recreational space, and improved water quality by filtering stormwater runoff. My question is, why should we allow new construction that could damage adjacent wetlands in this area? The pier project will degrade the vanishing number of Maryland waterways that remain natural and unspoiled. Succeeding generations may never know what an untouched estuary looks like, but certainly some of them will question why our government, which was charged with protecting these resources, allowed them to be eliminated. That is why I ask you today to support a more stringent approach to granting wetlands licenses, starting with this project. The administrator believes it's in the best interest of the state and its wetlands to move this project forward and receive a wetlands license. I disagree. This project will not deliver any ecological, aesthetic, or economic benefits to the state now or in the future, but it will destroy another part of our shared natural legacy. I ask you to disapprove this project. Thank you for listening.
Ms. Denny, thank you so much for your remarks. Finally, I'd like to recognize John Trimble. Also, I believe you are from the Briarcliff community?
Yes.
Okay. Who has signed up to speak in opposition of this item. Good morning, Mr. Trimble.
And Governor and everybody. And Dave is my neighbor in the Pines, and a great neighbor he is. And I'm also from the other side of the creek, so I have a foot on both sides. And what I want in the next two or three minutes for everybody to understand are four things. First, Bill's decision has a lot of mistakes and misstatements that were not looked into, and I would like them to be looked into. We are totally for the floating dock. We support them, but we have a question of moorings, which has been going on for 20 years. I did some investigation, and we've been left out of that process for those 20 years. The Pines right now has 100% of all the moorings, and that will continue because of the process. That just doesn't seem to be fair. So the fourth thing that I want you to understand is I have some suggestions, I'm not walking away empty here, to properly use state laws, procedures, and guidelines that we believe were ignored. So three things I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about problems with my interpretation of Bill's decision, MDE errors, and what I would like to see, and then four items that I think could cure all these problems. First, this is the problems with Bill's decision. MDA would not respond to the questions involved in the moorings. I went through Bill and they responded, but they didn't answer any of my questions. And Bill said it was the best that I could do. And the question was, why have you not been associated with this for 20 years? The state laws would mandate from the 1972 law. MDE accepted a map of Chase Creek, and on that map, there was a channel. And I asked a simple question, is that a navigation channel or not? Simple answer. If it's a navigation channel, then as the Federal Rivers and Harbors Act of 1899, Section 10, which is still very viable and very appropriate, it would preclude any moorings from being in that channel. So that's sort of important. And this is a weird one. As I was investigating, DNR has an annual renewable process for moorings. And I pulled all those moorings. It's an affidavit. And I found that there were misstatements signed by the Pines for all 20 years. And the other communities weren't associated with being understood that these moorings were going to the Pines. We were not part of that process. And due to the fact, MDE and BPW would not verify that these affidavits were false. Basically, there was a problem with riparian rights that Bill didn't think was a major problem, but it is a problem over at the Pines right now. And
Mr. Trimble, if you could conclude, please.
I will. Okay, so four things that I would like to see, basically, are independent verification to the validity of the DNR affidavits. MDE must define whether that channel is navigational or not. And we want to reach out to the Pines to work in the future of this common and very beautiful resource where porpoises and otters and beavers live. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Trimble. I'd like to invite Deputy Secretary Suzanne Dorsey from the Department of the Environment up to the podium to provide a few comments and answer any questions.
Good morning. Good morning, Governor Miller, Chief Deputy Comptroller and Chief Deputy Treasurer. For the record, I'm Suzanne Dorsey, Deputy Secretary of the Maryland Department of the Environment, and here on behalf of Secretary Serena McElwain. Thank you so much for this opportunity to reply very simply. I'll keep it very short, that this wetlands license has been reviewed carefully with our colleagues in the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. They are, of course, and they are the entity that enforces the Federal Rivers and Harbors Act of 1899. We've coordinated closely with our partners at DNR, as well as the Board of Public Works, and we continue to support this wetlands license. We share deeply in concerns about the aesthetics of this, and again, our shared value of protecting the environment. So we look forward to working with you, with our partners at DNR, and certainly partners in the nonprofit world to ensure that your aesthetic and the integrity of the environment is well maintained. The living shoreline, which is 200 to 300 feet away from this site, should be protected based on the design that we've proposed here. So we share the values, we share the concerns, we feel that they've been adequately addressed, and we look forward to continuing to work with these communities. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Secretary Dorsey. Now, I understand that we also have representatives from Department of Natural Resources joining us virtually, or who can also answer any questions that anybody may have.
Yes, ma'am.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, no. Mr. Secretary.
Yeah. Right. For the record, Secretary Kurtz, Department of Natural Resources. I think Deputy Secretary Dorsey addressed all of the questions that pertain to DNR as well. We coordinated closely with MDE on this. But Jacob is available if you do have any specific questions related to that.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Secretary. And with that, there is no other further discussion on this item or the remainder of the Secretary's agenda. We'll move forward. May I have a motion to approve the Secretary's agenda?
Governor, motion made to approve the Secretary's agenda.
All right. Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Now let's proceed to the Department of Natural Resources agenda. Good morning again, Secretary Kurtz.
Good morning, Madam Governor, Mr. Chief Deputy, and Mr. Chief Deputy. For the record, Josh Kurtz, Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. Today, the department has 14 items on the agenda for your consideration. Myself and my colleagues are available to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you, Secretary Kurtz. Is there any discussion on the DNR agenda? May I have a motion to approve the DNR agenda?
Motion made to approve the DNR agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Next up, the University System of Maryland. Good morning, Mr. Hickey. Good
morning, Governor, Mr. Chief Deputy Treasurer, Mr. Chief Deputy Comptroller, Tom Hickey, representing University System of Maryland. There are 8 items for your consideration. I am withdrawing sub-item 3 from item 1GM, and I'm happy to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on the USM agenda? May I have a motion to approve the USM agenda?
Motion made to approve the USM agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hickey. Let's proceed to the MDOT agenda. Good morning, Ms. Radomski.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Chief Deputy Comptroller, Mr. Chief Deputy Treasurer. For the record, my name is Valerie Radomski, Chief Procurement Officer for the Maryland Department of Transportation. Today, we are presenting 20 agenda items for your consideration and withdrawing item 10GM. We have representatives available to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. Is there any discussion on the MDOT agenda? May I have a motion to approve the MDOT agenda?
Motion made to approve the MDOT agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Thank you. Now we're going to conclude with a DGS agenda. Good morning, Secretary Chaudhary.
Morning, Madam Governor, Mr. Chief Deputy Comptroller, Mr. Chief Deputy Treasurer. For the record, I'm a Chief Charter Secretary of the Maryland Department of General Services. Today, the department is presenting 39 items in our agenda. We are withdrawing one item, that is item 27IT. Our agenda does feature 15 capital grants and loans totaling over $21 million. I just want to highlight one in particular, that's item 13 CGL, which provides over $2 million in state support to the Life Crisis Center located in Wicomico County for the construction of a 4,600 square foot addition for their Salisbury facility, which will provide comprehensive domestic violence, rape and sexual assault, child abuse, human trafficking, as well as court-appointed special advocacy services. The state funding will allow for the expansion of community-based crisis intervention and violence prevention services. As a opportunity to keep an eye on minority business participation, our agenda does feature 5 contract awards and modifications to certified minority businesses totaling more than $1.7 million. And we have agency representatives here to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Secretary. I'd like to briefly highlight item number 37 CGL, which is a request to award $500,000 grant to the Maryland Tech Council to support the purchase of state-of-the-art lab equipment for the BioHub Maryland's headquarters in Montgomery County. Located in the heart of the I-270 Life Sciences Corridor, BioHub Maryland's Training and Education Center offers real-world training in biopharma manufacturing to life sciences workers, military veterans, and Marylanders who may not have college degrees. Last October, I had the pleasure to join leaders at the Maryland Tech Council for ribbon-cutting ceremony of this new center, which exemplifies the governor's vision for a future of Maryland's economic growth. Maryland is home to over 2,700 life sciences companies and 54,000 industry workers. And the life sciences industry is one of the Maryland's largest economic engines, contributing billions of dollars to the state's economy annually. And I'm so excited for all the amazing things the BioHub Maryland is doing to support the talent needs of our life sciences industry. As the governor and I have continued to say, it is important that we make big bets on Maryland's lighthouse sectors, including our life sciences and biotech industries. We're proud to have allocated nearly $130 million targeting growth investments toward that goal in fiscal year 2026, including continued investments for BioHub Maryland. We continue to root for your success. With that, is there any further discussion on the DDS agenda?
Governor, I have a comment on item 38.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you, Secretary Chaudhry. On behalf of Comptroller Learman, I want to thank the Office of State Procurement for meeting with our office about this item, which includes over $18 million in retroactive spending. Prior to this item, our General Accounting Division and the Office of State Financial Innovation were unaware of this significant financial oversight, which seems to be the result of disconnected financial systems. The FEMIS Modernization Project, which is the project to modernize the entire state's financial infrastructure, is well underway, and our team has added this issue not only for short-term corrective action, but also as we evaluate solutions for the state's updated financial system. We appreciate the Office of State Procurement's commitment to refining their contract processes, oversight, and standard operating procedures to ensure that this is not an issue on any future statewide contracts. Thank you, Secretary. Thank you, Governor.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Chief Comptroller. And we're working very closely with you, obviously, on this initiative. So very happy for the coordination and collaboration.
We're very optimistic for the project.
Yes, yes. Looking forward to it.
So if there's no further discussion, may I have a motion to approve the DGS agenda?
Motion made to approve the DGS agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. So this concludes today's meeting of the Board of Public Works. I want to wish each and every one of you a safe and happy 4th of July. The next meeting is July 16th. Thank you all. We are adjourned.